And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. Man, do we have a great show for you today. Captain Dave Ibrahim from the Tomahawk is going to be joining us fresh off the water. Man, there's some biting fish to talk about and a whole lot going on. You stay tuned. We're in for a good one. Pete Gray is going to be doing a little field research. He's out in Montana. You got Corey and I hanging out with you for the next 2 hours talking fishing and having some fun. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel. That to-do list isn't going to do itself. That's when the 2026 Motor Trend Truck of the Year Ford Maverick comes in. Agile, nimble, equipped for wherever you go, with available hybrid all-wheel drive, and capable of taking on what you need. With the flatbed storage system and a maximum available towing capacity of 4,000 pounds. Get your ideal combination of capability and versatility to handle whatever comes your way. Get it, haul it, make it. Ford Maverick, turning a to-do list into a to-done list. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer to take a test drive today.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and what a fun show today is going to be, man. It's just things are stacking up like we were talking about yesterday, and just how could it be any better?
Yeah, no doubt, man. What a fun time, and what good timing to have Captain Dave from the Tomahawk in here. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning. Thank you guys for having me.
Wow, we're pumped to have you, man. It's been a fun start. Like, I'm so stoked to have Dave in here, because like Dave's strategy was like the one that I talked about a bunch on the show. Like, our season ended last year, whatever you want to call it. The next day, you had that boat under tarps and were steady grinding away. And we talked to you in the off season, and you said the same thing. Like, I want the boat ready. I want the boat to be ready at the first sign of fish. And I feel like the fish are going to be early this year. And man, what a payoff you had for doing that. Sure as heck, you looked at the season, and the season started way earlier than most of us expected. And that Tomahawk was primed and ready to roll, and you guys slid in immediately and just started running and started catching, and
yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah.
I mean, this was the payoff for all that.
It really is, yeah. Exactly. And seeing these guys, you know, just finishing up their stuff, it's like, all right, well, here we are ready.
Yeah.
And something to point at, you know, just getting in this morning and having definitely our chances yesterday. It's like, all right, this is exactly that reason why, yeah, I wanted to knock it out early.
I just think it was such a good call. You know, I mean, like you said, the season's going to happen, but you called it. You called it. It paid off,
yep,
and it's been
exactly.
Fun to watch how great things are going on that Tomahawk. And every time you're on here, people always are calling with all the accolades, and they love fishing with you. But it's just such a good thing. You get started early. You guys really put a lot of effort into it, and you're just doing it the right way. And, man, so how's the season going? It seems like it's off to such a quick, early, fun start. What's the fisherman like? Give us the rundown, man.
Yeah.
What's up?
It's you know, of course, getting the reservations, getting off the dock. It's been the weekend thing. And, you know, like I mentioned, just getting in this morning from our two-day trip. We ended with 43 bluefin, and man, they wanted to play on a few stops. Definitely the finesse, you know, 25-pound fluorocarbon, small circle hook approach. But getting on some of these long, extended drifts and just, you know, guys going back there picking a good bait, bait someone away from the boat and getting a bite. So that opportunity, it's always a treat, especially, you know, daytime action.
Oh my God,
like we
yes.
were talking about it on the trip multiple times. It's like daytime, I think, you know, back to the old textbook approach and, you know, trolling around, getting jig strikes and all that fun setup. And of course we attempted, you know, our first full night. And we're seeing fish, and they just were funky. And it was like, well, I guess we, you know, can't have it all here at the moment.
So they wanted to play in the day
they
more than
to
at
play.
The nighttime.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
You're interesting.
Oh, I love hearing that.
I know.
God,
that
I love hearing
good.
That.
It was a treat for sure. It's odd almost going back to, we didn't do too many trail rotations, but just knowing that's in our future, you know,
yeah.
1-4, 5-8 and doing all that, making sure our trail spread's good.
I can't wait for that too. You know how long it's been to be on the
boat?
Long
time.
Hear the clicker rip off and you look down and three of the rods all have one on at the same time
exactly.
and throwing bait and
yep.
hooking a fish in the corner. Like, I can't wait for that.
Oh, exactly, man. It was fun.
That's awesome.
Able to make it work for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Looking forward to our next trip. Absolutely.
You guys, that now this is a 2-day that you came back from this morning. Is that what you've been running mostly 2 days? Does the fish necessitate that length of time? Do you just let, you know, what's your schedule like? And
luckily the fish is overnight trip range, you know, 60-70 miles like that, and there's a good spread of it, a lot
cool.
of scattered out batches of these things, and it being reachable on, you know, an overnight trip.
Yeah.
So doing our 2-day trip gave us a little bit more time. And you know, on the note of leaving in that a.m. hour, getting out there, and we had that evening shot at them.
That's
so
cool.
It was kind of that, all right, here we go, you
so
know, rolling into the dark and trying, but they just didn't want to go with it.
But you were catching fish on the app the same day as departure.
Yes.
You guys had some fish in the
yes.
lake.
Yes,
that's great.
I love that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. It was definitely fun.
What about the whole yellowfin thing? I mean, the talk of this early
right.
season, April, like sign a yellowfin. And
yeah, I mean, that's, you know, in our travels, we didn't come across any. We did
yeah.
catch a Dorado, one Dorado. On
yeah,
one of our drifts, and it's, you know, a couple other guys did as
yeah.
well. So of course, in the back of our minds, what's this season going to bring?
I know, totally,
yeah.
totally. I think we're, I sure think we're in for a fun one, man. It's just,
I do
the,
too.
The start has just been so good, and man, it's,
and,
I love it.
And we talked about it yesterday with Doug Kern. Mm-hmm. You know, it's there's all this talk sometimes, and it's like it should happen, it could happen, it might happen. Things are lining up. It's actually here.
It's happening.
It
like,
is.
Yeah.
It is.
Like, there's no mask in it, man. It's,
exactly.
That yellowfin, like, how, what, the distance. I mean, is it at that 70-100 mile mark?
Yeah, there was some talk about it. I was hoping we would. And it was,
yeah.
you know, super, you know, caring about our troll spread and trolling our Halco lures and,
right.
you know, a couple different cedar plug daisy chains and trying different things. But, you know, for our jig strikes, we were getting bit on those Halco lures and, basically, being prepared, you know, has me and my crew going through all of our light fly line gear, and it's like, all right, we got to make sure our fly line game's good and stocking up on our fluorocarbon and all that approach. But man, it's, I hope that yellowfin comes, and
yeah.
it's like, of course, no matter what species, I mean, throughout the day, you know, two guys on the roof and looking, so whatever's off our belt, we're attempting it, but. For sure, bluefin was our focus here, and I'm ready for yellowfin, too, so show themselves.
Yeah, man. I love it.
I know it.
Dave, tell us a little bit about the tomahawk. You know, we've been, you're a regular guest on here at this point, and a lot of us have fished with you and love the boat, but for those that haven't had a chance to come, give us a little rundown on what your girl's like.
Yeah, so we do overnight trips, mainly day-and-a-half, two-day stuff. We do have a couple two-and-a-half, three-day trips, but I feel like our main focus, every boat kind of finds their niche, and I feel like two-day trips have been our little niche on that. Open party, of course, availability for charters, too, dates available for it. Doing that shorter range stuff. Fish holds RSW system, 30 degrees. We do have the whole fillet option, but, again, it's like this processor thing. A lot of guys are favoring it, leaning towards it. And, you know, I always mention trying to bring, you know, what I learned on the long range, you know, stint that I did, bringing that to that short range, and you know, there's been, you know, ups and downs with it, but trying to just give every passenger that long range experience, at least just customer service, and you know, having my, you know, Nick in the galley whipping out good meals and just creating this good experience, and it's been a lot of good feedback. So I always tell the boys, like, this is why we do it.
I think that's the thing we hear about your boat and operation the most, is it really is like that. I know that's what you strive for, but everybody says that, like, doing a 2-day on the Tomahawk is like taking the middle out of an 8-day trip on the American Angler or the Royal Star or the Royal Polaris or, you know, any of the top boats. You guys do such a good job.
Yeah.
We hear about it all the time. Elevated food, the level of comfort. The boat's big everywhere. It's big
it
everywhere.
Is.
The bunks are big. The distance between the house and the rails is big. Everything about that boat is big and comfortable.
It is. It's a well-balanced boat. You know, it being my first sport boat, being a part of ownership-wise, it's like, all right, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, what happens next? It's like, I can't think that too far out. But, you know, doing the best we can do with what we got. And, God, things have we did some maintenance on it, did a lot of mechanical stuff in the engine room, chassis props, just making sure our mechanical side of it's sound. But again, it's a fun platform. You know, looking at just keep sharing the passion with anglers, new anglers. I mean, it's been a lot of familiar faces. You know, this is the fourth season rolling into it. Me being part of the Tomahawk, and it's like, all right, starting to see these familiar faces a lot more.
When we feel it in the tackle store side, like it's palpable. The brand that you have put together with that boat. You know, it's had some fantastic owners in its life, and it's had some mediocre, and, like, you can tell the boat's probably on the best path that it's ever been on, because you just hear it. I mean, you know, we hear it every time you're on the show. People talk about how much they love fishing with you, and then at the top of the dock, people just raving about, man, I just can't believe that we did all of these things on our day-and-a-half trip. I can't believe that I ate that on my day-and-a-half trip. And you guys are just doing a great job, and it's fun to watch.
The feedback's good.
Yeah,
I enjoy it.
That's a good way. So tell us about the fishing yesterday. You said you guys got into that nice bluefin. What's the grade like? You mentioned it was daytime. How are we catching it? What kind of gear do we need?
A lot of that 25, 30-pound fish. We did have a couple standout 50-pounders, and there was a couple bigger ones caught between sport boats that were out yesterday. So I was like, oh, all right, a couple hundred-pounders in the mix.
Hey, no kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was definitely a good amount of potential, and it was just throughout the whole day. You know, we did a couple, two, three-hour drifts, and just textbook, casting your bait off the downwind corner, working your way up the side. But definitely more of the fly line approach, I feel like, is what we favored. And just textbook, seeing, turn bird schools, shearwater deals, blind jig strike, catching bait fish. And, man, it's
God, that's cool.
I know, right?
It gets me so fired
actually
up.
Actually gets me fired up, eh?
Yeah. Oh, man, getting that bite. It's hard to explain to, some of my land buddies that don't go fishing.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you got getting off the boat and going fishing on your skiff or whatever it may be. And it's like, man, are you really doing that? So, yeah. Once you got the itch, that's for sure.
Picking a good bait, especially after the adrenaline after a jig strike and hearing the clicker go off and everybody's running and it's the crazy fire drill and picking a good bait and having to hit the water and starting to rip line off your reel where this thing's going to get smashed. Guaranteed. And then, boom, it happens. It's just...
Oh, yeah. Hearing the clicker go off before they even scream hookup, it's like, they're all shouting back there. And I said, no, you got to yell hookup.
Yeah.
It's like, everyone's rusty.
Yeah, I love it.
And that's been a while, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Like, it just...
That's a good feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really what these landings are built upon, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's in my bones.
Oh, right?
Man, yeah. It's pretty funny hearing it go off before they even see it. It's like,
I'll bet. That's cool.
Yeah,
what size gear does it take for a guy to get a bite right now?
You know, we ended up downsizing. There was just a couple drifts where, guys were getting bit on 25 pound and 30 pound.
Mm-hmm.
But, I feel like I did take note to the guys that were doing the downsize with the more finesse style approach, 20 pound fluoro, number two, number four, circle hook like that. And they were getting bites, maybe... I think a percentage a little bit better than the 25.
Mm-hmm.
I still think if you went out there with a 25-pound setup, fished that all day nonstop, I think you'd be right there neck and neck. But we did do the whole, trying the artificial stuff, the cold snipers, the mega baits, those style jigs. I don't think I saw one come over the rail with one of those in its mouth. But every day it's different in its own way. They were for sure showing themselves good, boiling up crazy. Off the bow, off the stern, and it was, they weren't as eager. So, of course, I'm already itching to get back out there. It's all about, redemption and, doing the whole, like you mentioned, picking a good bait, but just plunker style stuff. There's guys doing the popper stuff, trying that because, the amount of boils was impressive. And it's like, man, everyone's getting prepped, at least having their arsenal on that stuff. It's like, all right, well. Fish it how it comes.
Corey and I cracked up at the intensity of Dave. We're like, how was the trip? And you could tell that, Dave was a little bit ho-hum. 40, 50 fish, and Corey and I both like jaw. I'm like, you kidding me right now?
Right.
That's awesome. Always yeah, like, more. That's yeah. right. Yeah. As you should. Yes. I love that about you. But, man, you're talking about, you know, 40 or 50 nice daytime fly line bluefins that are 30 to 50 pounds with some potentials 100 pounders. All day, every day, sign me up for that.
No, I agree with you, Rick, for sure. And I can't imagine dropping down to 20. I mean, Vanessa, like,
yeah. The couple,
well,
I was like, ooh.
That's what why I was so curious. And the reason I asked is when you said that now there's starting to be a few fish, you know, scattered amongst the fleet that are starting to touch 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like, now you've got to really think about making that decision. You
really
know, you
do.
Obviously, you know, you need to do what you need to do to get your bites and hook your fish. But you also, you know, you hook a 100-pounder on 20 pounds. Oh. The odds of that thing coming over the rail are almost nil, mm-hmm. you know, so... I love that part of it. I love the, you know, God, man, do I just go for the bite and then deal with it later, which almost doesn't, you know, almost never pans out the right way. Do you stick with heavy line and wait for the right bite at the right time? Like, that's the strategy that there's no right answer to any of those things. It's all just, you know, what part of the gray are you wanting to swim in, you know?
Yeah, I'm having it. And that's the good thing, too, is, you know, the knife jig setups that we are rolling out on these trips with, it's that's probably going to be the setup you use, too.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Do a sinker rig stuff if you did get on a batch of those. But, yeah, there's a couple guys stopped on a couple schools, and sure enough, everyone drops their 25, 30-pound rigs. Everyone gets smoked. And
right.
It's like, oh, yeah, those are them. So, being prepared by far.
I love it, man. Yes. Well, we're going to have a great one today, no doubt, Corey. Lots to talk about. The texts are already pouring through. Today's just going to be a fun day.
I agree with you, Rick. And having Dave in here and his infectious smile and enthusiasm for what he does is awesome, right?
Yep,
and
absolutely.
It's for the same reason your passengers love going with you, Dave.
Oh, and yeah. Gotcha.
I love sitting alongside you. And we've got a full 2 hours with you and just super stoked. And we're going to be on the fan for a full 2 hours this morning. And if you want to join us, that number to call in, Kyle's waiting for your call right now, 833-288-0973. There's one open line right now for you. You can call in and either that way or via the texting, and that's only on the app. You go right there on the app. It's an easy, free download, and it says right there, text the show. And when you do send a message, Rick and I are going to get those, and make sure you do include your name and telephone number, because at the end of the show, we're giving away an overnight trip out of Fisherman's Landing.
Hey.
It might even be going with you too, Dave, right? Exactly. Right. And I know Carl in the past has given a nod that, you know, if you wanted to upgrade that to
a little day and a half.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know,
Carl on a good day, you might be sliding out
so.
A little extra.
Right, exactly. But for a small amount of money, you can upgrade that to a day and a half.
Perfect.
Or whatever you want
Perfect.
To do, right?
Win-win.
So, right, exactly. So, again, I'll give you the telephone number, 833-288-0973, or send us a text via the app. We're going to be right back on that Let's Talk Hookup app with Dave Ebraham from the Tomahawk when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Fillet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing AFCO fillet knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, AFCO knives feature 4116 German stainless steel, bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Fillet knives from AFCO. Any fish, any water.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
When you're pursuing big game fish, the right gear is essential. Not just the rod, reel, and line, but the right pair of binoculars, too. So upgrade your gear to the best pair of Fujinon stabilized binoculars from Baker Marine. Baker Marine has been selling binoculars for decades, and more importantly, they service all brands right there at their San Diego Shelter Island location. Need the best? Fujinon Stabiscopes are the professional's choice. Looking for top-tier stabilization at a great price? The Fujinon Technostabi TSX 1440s deliver rock-steady vision, even in rough waters, perfect for serious anglers. Baker Marine is the largest Fujinon retailer on the West Coast, and when you buy from them, they'll be there when your binoculars need service. Plus, they'll give you a great price on all in-stock Fujinon binoculars. Stop by their store on Shelter Island in San Diego and test a pair of Fujinon binoculars and see which ones are right for you. They even have compact and lightweight Fujinon stabilized binoculars for your next vacation or hunting trip. You know you need a pair of stabilized binoculars, so get them from the experts at Baker Marine. Learn more at BakerMarine.com.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open parties, schedule check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and having so much fun in the world headquarters here with Dave Ibrahim from the Tomahawk. If you want to join us, 833-288-0973, or you can send us a text via the app. Make sure you do leave in your name and telephone number or a way to get a hold of you after the show, because one lucky texter or caller is going to win a overnight trip out of Fisherman's Landing.
Yeah, what a rad prize, and a big thanks to Carl and everybody at Fisherman's Landing for making that happen. Such a cool prize. You basically get a pass to go on board any boat that's running an open party overnight at Fisherman's Landing. Like Corey was saying, if you sweet talk old Carl, give him a little kiss on the cheek, maybe he'll let you slide in, throw a couple extra bucks, and upgrade it to a day and a half. So you might be going fishing on the Tomahawk, one of the just my absolute favorite boats. So proud to see that thing at the landing there. It's just awesome, and Dave does such a good job. And yeah, somebody's going to get to go fishing and have some fun with us. Again, if you want it, 833-288-0973 is the number. Why don't we jump into the phones, Corey?
Let's do that. How about Alex calling from San Carlos? Good morning, Alex. Appreciate you joining us.
Hey, good morning, guys. I've been lucky to catch yellowfin, even albacore when I was like 12 years old and big eye and everything, but I've never caught a bluefin, and my dream is to be able to catch one. Just kind of where we're like sliding into foamers. What would be your tips on like successfully catching one on the slide, just casting into the foamers?
Ooh, definitely rolling on the foamers, having your popper set up, or you know, even just one of those smaller body cold sniper jigs casting into that. But you know, time and time again, guys go into the bow, we hook a couple, and then there's a few on the back. Guy in the tank throwing chum, guys sliding baits back, hooking them as well. It's like dumping a bunch of bait on those spots, trying to get them to stick to the boat, but probably popper casting right in the middle of those foamers would be the fun ticket for sure.
Is a rod to cast a foamer or colt sniper like a what's the level of importance of having that thing on the quiver? You know, if a 25-pound fly line live bait rod is the A number one most important thing to have, like where does that thing fall in line?
Ooh, I know I'm back and forth. I bought one of the Trinks, and I've always have a popper tight on it, but I still find myself casting a surface iron into that stuff.
Okay.
You know, full of mono, casting distance plus 50 feet worth of mono, casting a 7X or, you know, some surface iron of some sort into it. Like, I just always find myself doing that, even when I have a popper tight on.
You know, it's funny. I'm very similar to you in that same thing. Like, even if you know the popper is the cooler thing, there's something about the distance and control that you have with a surface iron. Like, I'm going to hit that spot.
Yeah.
Like,
and have your line
possibly,
too.
I'm not going to come up short. Not going to anything else. I'm going to hit that spot every time. But again, there's nothing. I don't know if there's anything cooler than getting a bite on those poppers.
Bring it on.
What about that? What's the Dave popper of choice? If you were, you know, Alex is wanting to cast something into a foamer, get a bite, do you, you know, are you on the large side so you can cast it with heavier line and get more distance? Do you like a smaller one because it's more finessey and they eat it better?
I feel like the way I pop a popper, like I still use those big face Halco ones, those things that just kick a bunch of water. And I know the Ghost Clears and like those smaller body poppers, those are favorite and work well, but I still find myself for sure at least doing the popper if I was to cast it with one of those bigger Halcon ones that just kick a bunch of water.
Sure.
And you know, just the way I pop it stays in the water, it's not skipping over the water because just the, you know, hard I pop. I still have a lot of those. I remember that was the hot ticket. Those things are hard to get. Those ones are Gazeri ones. I still have a stash of them.
That's cool. And with that setup, what would you say is the ideal, you know, is it do you go down to the, you know, I hate to call it that, but it is what it is. Do you go down to the heavy bass reel style things, you know, the Tranks 300, Tranks 400, Tranks 500, or do you stay with a surface iron style rod, just have a popper tight on? What do you like for that?
I still stick with the surface iron style, okay. Just the casting distance. Yeah. Casting distance and probably my go-to for that is Calstar 90J.
Okay.
I feel like that's the one, and, you know, I have the 90J mag. Those are my two, and then, you know, I have the 100J glass. That's, you know, my go-to surface iron. But I find myself with popper on the 90J.
Okay,
usually.
That's cool. Well, yeah. Alex, I wish you the best of luck. It's funny, there's probably not a ton of people listening to the show right now that have an albacore and a big eye under their belt, but not a bluefin. So I think
I
this
know.
Is your year, bro. Just hop on with Dave, and I guarantee you guys together will get that sucker knocked off your list. And all that said, if your goal is to catch a bluefin, I still think I'd probably fish the number two hook and some 25-pound before the popper. But catching them on the popper would be a hell of a lot more fun,
for
sure.
And even on the slide, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
When you get a handful of guys that want to throw the popper or surface iron or whatever on that sliding in like that, it could be a mess right in the beginning, right? I mean,
very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, just to be able to stand back just for 10 seconds, which is probably the most difficult thing in the world, right?
It is.
But just to stand back that 10 seconds and wait for the mess to happen and cast 90 degrees to the, you know.
That's a smart approach. Let everyone cast, and it's, you know, practicing, you know, practice makes perfect. So cruising out, practicing your cast, and so when you are in that first wave of cast, that cast makes it to them.
Get me
it.
All fired
God,
up.
Got me
right?
too, buddy. Alex, appreciate the phone call very much, buddy. Why don't we grab another one, Corey?
Let's do it. How about Mike? Mike Colm from Torrance. And by the way, that does open one line if you want to call in at 833-288-0973. Good morning, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick and Corey. Hey, one of the biggest, the first biggest bluefin I ever caught was on the Tomahawk with the previous owner and name. And I was up on the bow coming up on a foamer on July 5th of 2014, and I threw a surface iron, and I just chucked it. And the deckhand said, you know, if you would have thrown that twice as far, you might have got one. So I just didn't say nothing. I let it sink, and I let it sink, and I let it sink, and I started grinding it up, and I hooked it up. And I fought that fish for quite a while, and my reels plate backed off, and they had to get a screwdriver. I had to tighten it up, and it was a challenge getting it all together and getting it on the boat. And we put it on the boat, and Billy, the deckhand, Anthony, they call him Billy the Goat, Billy the Kid, but Anthony gapped that thing, and I couldn't even pick it up at the time. It was probably 90, and he picked it up, and we took a picture together, and I still have the picture, and what a great memory from your boat.
That's awesome.
And I've caught lots of albacore and lots of yellowfin, lots of bluefin, but I have not got a big eye. But better than that, I'd sure love to get a wahoo this year. And I've been on your boat with a wahoo caught also in October 2015, and I didn't get one, but maybe this year.
Yeah. So, shaping up already, different than previous, so. Anything could happen.
I think any of us would be crazy to say, oh, there's going to be local wahoo this year. I mean, it had never happened before, you know, that 2015 year, and it takes a whole lot. But man, you got to have a start before there's a finish, and we sure got the right start. You know, who knows?
And it was amazing yesterday. You know, if you missed yesterday's show, you can go back to the app and listen to it. But Doug Kern was talking about there was at that point that year 14-15. Over 1,000 wahoo caught locally.
Crazy.
That's
crazy. Right? I mean, I didn't even think of adding it up, but to have close to 1,000.
That's
wild. That's a lot of wahoo, man.
You see me out there.
Right?
Yeah, see me out there on the Tomahawk and or my skiff. One of the two.
That was fun time, man. That was really, really good. I hope it happens for you, Mike, and I hope we're talking about it, too. That was just the craziest, you know. It's not like it was wide open in huge numbers, but just every time, every kelp, there was a shot at one. Outside of the excitement of it, I remember that. The other thing that I remember is, no matter what, any time a hook broke off, a blue shark bit something, anything that you didn't land, I was a wahoo, man.
Yeah,
I guarantee.
Right.
Like, if somebody tied a bad knot and they were pulling on any fish of any kind and they wound it back with just line, oh, I got wahooed, man. I had him, had my shot, went away.
And that's the beauty of what we do. I mean, the anomalies of what happened from year to year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
a surprise.
Like the last couple of years, it's been all nighttime. Yeah. I mean, the majority of it's been nighttime, and now you can't even wrangle one at night, right?
No, we attempted. We stayed late last night trying to make something happen, and it's like, we saw one school, and it's like, man, I still like doing the nighttime thing. That's fun, festive. Adrenaline pumping.
Sure.
But, dude, as a passenger, I'm not going to complain. Yeah. I can sleep at night. And I can get a fly line bite. Are you kidding me? With everybody hooting and hollering?
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah. I love that the clickers are going off. I love that there's jig strikes and bait fish to be had after that. Yeah. This is off to a great start. Well, speaking of great starts, I had a fun text from John in Rancho San Diego. Says, I love hearing about the fishy boat, the Tomahawk. It's one of my absolute favorites in the fleet. Captain Dave, what do you think leads to the most fish caught on a successful trip? Is it an absolute spotter, or is it an astute spotter with the gyros up in the crow's nest? Is it your most up-to-date sonar and electronics? Is it a very experienced group of fishermen? Is it a primo load of bait? What is the single thing you think that makes the biggest difference when you're catching?
Well, it's all relative. I mean, example, our last trip, we had a little die-off, and I feel like it weighed against us. Definitely didn't favor, or, more favorable for us, but just that bait selection, having the guys on the roof in the crow's nest and, the investment of the stabiscopes that we have, keeping them serviced, keeping them functioning a bit from Baker Marine, having those guys on the roof, myself, always with those things to my eyes, sonar tuned up, and, God, it's just, it all matters. It's all relevant. It all needs to flow.
Yeah.
And asking questions. I feel like guys that come out maybe not go as often asking questions, whether it's the crew members or veteran anglers that go, a good amount. It's taking the initiative. I mean, it all comes down to you get what you put into it.
Totally.
But it just all matters.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I think the best way to look at it, like, you couldn't, all of the things that John mentioned, you couldn't take one of those out of the equation and expect to have a successful trip. If you were, no matter how good your guys in the gyros were, if you didn't have a sonar, you'd still feel like you're fishing in the blind. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it, but probably the only thing you could take out of that and still have a successful group is a really astute group of regulars. What I mean? You could, it wouldn't be the same as guys that could cast their baits far and keep themselves out of tangles, but you've got a really good crew. You could take a group of novices and have the right guy, the right bait, the right load of fish, the right biting fish, you're going to come back with limits.
Oh, yeah. We were casting people out nonstop. I'd be back there on deck and anybody, if you need me to cast you out, I'm here.
Yeah.
Whether it was casting them out or taking one of our boat poles and casting the bait out, hooking one, handing it off, it's just teamwork for sure. Keeping that flow going good.
This isn't fair to ask you on the radio, but since you and Corey are both sitting here, and Corey, you've had so many years of, working for Everingham Brothers in the bait, like, how would you guys describe, you hear talk about all that, you got to pick a good bait, how important it is to have a good bait and hooked right and proper, like, as much as you can being on the radio, how do you describe what that is? Like, I'm sure people that are new to it hear it all the time. You got to pick a good one. Well, there's hundreds of them in the hand well. Who's to determine which is a good one and which is a bad one? And
all the scales on it, minimal. Of course, no red is the preferred, but it's like this last trip, it was a lot of red bait. Stuff was coming up, just minimal scales, and it was like, oh, man. So
that happens, too.
It happens.
Yeah.
Guy on the tank hand-picking the good ones out, trying not to clog the hand well with a bunch of red boy. Chumming those ones. You always want to chum the best, fish the best. But chumming the red ones and just looking down, taking note to those, light green back ones, just the ones that just like, ooh, that's a good one.
Uniformity in color.
Uniform in color. And I mean, there's times I even grab one of those, mint condition looking sardines, cast them out, and they still don't swim. Mm-hmm. But, taking note to that. And, we're not into reviving sardines, but if that bait hits the water, doesn't swim after a minute or two, winding it in, changing it. You'll know when you have that right bait.
All I can say is we're so spoiled. Let's just admit, I'm not like looking at you and saying that, Dave, but I'm just saying us as an industry.
We are,
man. Like those guys, they work their tails off, man.
They do.
And it's, I can tell you right now from being a part of it, they don't know when they have a day off, if they're ever going to have a day off. You can't plan for your son or your daughter's birthday party or baseball game.
They were there when we loaded bait, just offloading another batch of bait.
Right.
But the crazy thing is, if they left the dock at midnight, they don't know when, like, the next day.
What they need, yeah.
Like, they don't know if they're leaving at midnight again.
You're
like,
sure.
They, you understand? Like, it is so unscheduled and crazy.
Definitely.
And there's difficulties. I remember from back then, like this time of the year, the sardine or anchovy would want to spawn, and it just didn't want to be corralled. Like, it would happen for a week or 10 days.
That's when you're trying to catch it, or was it when it's in the boxes?
Like, you could catch it, but when you wanted to corral it to bring it on the boat,
okay,
in that process, it just, there were, I mean, it would happen for a 3-day to a 10-day period,
huh,
or it just,
okay,
it would want to jump 10 feet out of the water to escape what you're doing to it.
Where when it's not in that period, you put the net around and it just kind of circles up and does
just
does
like
thing,
when like, you're on a sport boat and you see the boys corral it up and in a crowder and it's just happy as can be.
Yeah.
It's circling in a tornado. Like, that's
the norm.
That's the norm. Yeah. But when it wants to spawn, it seemed like it was during the spawning period.
It's angry. It's angry that you're
I would be too, man. Give me look what I'm trying to do here, buddy. What are you doing? Come on, back up.
Mating.
But all I could say is, like, we could take a deep breath, and it might be different in 3 days.
Oh,
you know?
Sure.
Like, yeah.
I think we all get that part of it.
Yeah.
What about when, so how about this scenario? You are faced with, you know, we all know, we don't need to, and I say this in a good way, we don't need to give them the accolades because they know that. You know, at least I sure hope so. The Everingham Brothers is our industry. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more, Corey. Mm-hmm. Like, they are the saviors of it, the unsung heroes.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes difficulty in bait does happen. Hot water, bad conditions, where they caught it, whatever, it happens. If you find yourself in one of those scenarios, what is the best thing that you can do? Is it downsizing? Is it how you hook and position your bait? Like, if your bait is, we're used to having it at 100, and if you happen to get on the boat and it's a 70, or if it's a 30, what are the things you can do to help yourself along in a scenario like that?
There was times yesterday I was thinking, you know, the bait just fly line just did not want to swim. It's like, okay, well, applying some weight.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Nose hooking the bait. Anytime you apply weight and dropping that bait down there and at least, you know, creating some action.
Mm-hmm.
That and or, you know, a long soak nose hook bait, letting it get out there as far as you can and then doing, you know, put it in gear and slow winding it
in.
Just
that's a great way to
give
it
an action on the way in. But man, it's so much easier when you get that.
Yeah,
right.
No doubt about it.
It just answers all the questions, right?
Yeah, exactly. Man. Well, respect to Everingham doing what they do because you're right. That, I mean, having that live bait option and pulling up to the bait barge and being able to load our tanks. I mean, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Charitable.
And we've talked about it so many times. Like, there's nowhere else in the world.
Yeah.
Not in the United States, but in the world that is even remotely close.
Yeah.
To not only our fleet, but pulling up to a bait receiver that could fill every boat. You know.
I'm down here every day, and I still forget about the amount. I know you don't, Corey, because you're on the deck seeing it. But like the volume that they quote unquote have to catch every day. You know what I mean? Like, You start multiplying it out, and every half day boat, and every full day boat, and every night trip, and Dave's going on a 2-day, and the XL's leaving on a 15, and the RP's going tomorrow, and like you just think about the amount of bait that our fleet needs to keep rolling, and they just don't miss.
But take a step back from that idea, Rick, and that daily supply isn't even a drip, not even a drip out of a barrel. Do you understand?
Yeah,
like that's the ingredient, the main ingredient to a life cycle.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Up and down the coast.
Yeah.
So, really, it's not even a drip out of a barrel for what they need to corral.
Yeah.
But yet, it looks monumental, right?
It is.
It seems monumental, but it's really, you know, our California coast, it's not even a drip out of the barrel. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's crazy. But just trying to get in the right spot at the right time and close to the harbor. Because there were times where we had to run a Dana Point.
Right.
Well, if you run a Dana Point and make a set and get back and unload, that's a 22-hour day.
Okay.
Let's get in there.
That's wild. Yeah.
Right?
Because you're right. It not only has to be available to you, it's got to be in a spot
close
where you can catch it and you're – whatever your net, you know, you can't be too deep, you can't be too shallow, you got whatever that scenario exists.
So that's not that far away, but that's a 22-hour day.
Yeah.
And so you're basically turning and burning on that round. And if you're at Torrey Pines, that's a minimal 15-hour day. Like,
you say this like you know how long that hour is.
I'm telling you. How many wheel watches I took from there to selling. Point Loma. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry.
No, I love it, man.
But it's just explaining to the listeners.
Totally.
Like what goes into it, you know? Yeah, it's usually not heard. Let's jump into it. You want to talk to Carl?
Good, bro.
Carl from Escondido.
What's up, Carl?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, my question is, I'm thinking of getting a new reel with a Tranks 500 or a Trinidad 16, which would be the better of the two?
What style, artificial, something to cast a lure on? Are you looking for like a multi, cast the bait on, cast a lure on reel?
Yeah, what hole is this going to fill in your arsenal?
You know, like fly line with, cast with, you know.
That's a tough, I'm just so drawn to the Trinidad, at least, you know, for those options. But the benefits of the Tranks and it having the level wind, I mean, there's good in both, you know.
I'm kind of on Dave's side, too. Like, I think if your goal is to fly line a live bait and catch a tuna on a sport boat, there is no reel. This is just my opinion, and I'll take it. You can take it with a grain of salt because Shimano is our sponsor. But you take that aside, I don't think there's ever been a reel made that fly lines a live bait better than a Trinidad 16.
That's a good one.
I mean, it's just the mix of really good free spool, really good power for a star drag reel when you do hook a fish, drags that are more than you need and don't burn out fast. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think that there's a better reel for fishing a live bait. I also think that Dale hit the nail on the head. Like if you're looking to do things also like casting a Colt Sniper or casting a popper, that's when the benefit of, you know, the variable braking system, the level wind. There are things that Tranks will do for your casting that then really put that reel into the equation. It's a very user-friendly reel.
And we were talking about that yesterday, Rick, with the redesigned framing of the new Tranks. And I'm not educated enough, but it's the 300 and 400?
Correct. Yeah. So frame construction is like a much bigger...
rigidity.
Yeah, important feature in a reel that most of us don't give credit where it's due, but just because you wouldn't think about how they make the frame equates to like how much easier it is for you to wind in a fish, but it's probably it's one of the biggest things. And you know, like a high performance engine guy, you know, if things are flexing and moving around, like that's how your power escapes. And you know, having rigidity in the frame is a big difference. And you don't think about it, but you know, go wind the clock back 20 years and remember hooking a big fish on your TLD 20 or TLD 32 speed, or wind it back even farther and think about hooking a big fish on your 533 Newell. Like it's the flex in those frames that is the escape of a lot of your power. And having a super rigid frame, it doesn't flex, and your power basically, you know, it all goes to what you're doing. And yes, you're right. So Tranks 300 and 400 have gone through a new revision, and the side plate is now the left side plate is almost like a cap that's part of this whole machined body, where the left side plate and the frame are machined out of the same piece. And the access to the spool through the left side is almost done like a cap. So you keep things a lot more rigid. You don't have multiple pieces that are flexing under a lot of stress.
And it totally makes sense, Rick, because as you're tight on a – I mean, if you have a 50-pound yellow on a 400 Tranks, that tightness on the spool is what creates the reel to actually want to torque
totally
one way, and it keeps you from being able to wind.
Yeah, I
get it.
You're
making sense.
It's an arsenal. They both would serve a solid purpose have them both.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's an option, I'd purchase both.
My gut, and Lisa, you know, if somebody came to me in the tackle store with that same thing, I would probably go, and it also depends on what already exists in your arsenal and what we're trying to do. I think I would buy your Trinidad first, because day in and day out, a 25 to 30 pound fly line live bait reel is how we get the job done more than anything else on the sport boat. That's the bread and butter rig, and I think you're talking about the single greatest reel for doing that. And then exactly as you say, as tax return comes in or money's burning a little hole in your pocket, nothing casts as smooth and easy as a Tranks. So, I mean, I don't think you're making a wrong decision. You're talking about two great reels, yeah. but, you yeah. know, figure out what you have and what you need to plug in and what we need to fix.
I like it.
I like it too, man. I'm ready to roll.
That's good stuff, Rick. Hey, we're going to be right back. We have more with Dave Ibrahim from the Tomahawk when we return on Let's Talk a Kebab. YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Have you been looking for a live bait hook that keeps live bait alive? Look no further than Japan's leading fish hook, Gamakatsu. It's the little things that make the difference, and Gamakatsu hooks drive the point home. With an absolute perfect bend and ideal barbs, your bait swims harder and longer. And when you get bit, Gamakatsu hooks bite back with a vengeance. All hooks are not the same. Go with Gamakatsu for infinite success. Gamakatsu, simply the best. Check Gamakatsu.com.
Hello. Hello, this is Captain Mike Totter from Surge of Sport Fishing. Alongside my colleague, Chef Josh Evans, and our dedicated team, we invite you to join us aboard the Searcher. Our fishing trips range from a day and a half to 8 days, available May through November, and include charter options. We're committed to upholding a legacy of top-notch customer service, delicious food, and a friendly and talented crew. Book your fishing adventure online at surgeofsportfishing.com or call Rachel at 619-226-2403. That's surgeofsportfishing.com. We look forward to welcoming you aboard.
If you spend serious time on the water, you already know how fast conditions can change. Glare shifts, light drops, wind kicks up, and when you're fishing all day, your gear has to keep up. That's why Costa built the Pilot House Pro. It's a semi-rimless shield designed to give you a full, unobstructed view of the water with the clarity Costa's known for and the protection serious anglers actually need. Pilot House Pro is Z87.1 plus safety rated, ventilated to fight fog, and built to stay locked in when things get rough. From flying hooks to long hours in the sun, it's made for real conditions, not just the easy parts of the day. If you want eyewear that works as hard as you do on the water, check out the Pilot House Pro at CostaDelMar.com. See what's out there. Safety rated in U.S. only.
Looking for the ultimate Alaska fishing experience and the best value in Alaska? Look no further than Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. A trip to Kingfisher includes everything you need to make your experience legendary. The finest fishing fleet in Sitka with the best captains, deluxe accommodations, gourmet food, world-class fish processing, and the best part, it's all included for one amazing price. Kingfisher is Let's Talk Hookup's most popular destination. Hundreds of listeners have experienced Kingfisher Charters, and most go back again and again. You have probably heard a lot of big promises from other Alaska lodges, only to find there were lots of hidden charges. Not Kingfisher. Everything is included. 10-hour fishing days, your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, and fishing gear. All you bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. Kingfisher Charters, your Alaska fishing destination. 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm so stoked to be in the world headquarters
totally.
Today, right?
Totally, man. Yeah,
having
fun.
So much fun and
talking tuna fishing, man. I just love it.
Daytime.
There's no unreal part of the season. I like it like this. The feeling that you get going down to the landings this time of year, it's just electric. When a boat like the Tomahawk is rolling in and all of the guys that are getting ready to go are already standing in line. They got there earlier than they were supposed to. And, like, you see that boat come in and unloading all the fish. And everybody knows they're about to just go jack them up again the next day. It is such an electric feeling. And we're so blessed that it's gotten off to such an early start. Because you can feel it. It is very palpable at the landing right now. Like, we're in something special. It's pretty cool.
There's nothing more exciting than the possibilities of a jig strike and sliding the boat. Boat's going at a 45.
Yeah, totally.
Bait's going over. Fish are boiling. Yep.
This guy hooked one. I'm like, oh, man, it's on. Oh, yeah. They're on us. Yep.
You could even get me out. How about that?
You heard it. All right.
Yes. No problem at all, man. That's fun stuff. I know somebody else has got some fun stuff going on, too, right?
You got it, bro. It's time to find out what's biting, Corey.
I know. We've got Brian Woolley from Dana World Sport Fishing, and it's brought to us by the Fish Pros of Fishman's Processing in San Diego. It's where you get your premier processing experience. You can check out their easier online system. to book your processing for your long-range trips. And with more team members, Fishman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity and the finest customer service. You can stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street, or you can just check them out at fishmansprocessing.com. And don't forget to make your reservations today. And good morning, Brian. And I have to tell you, Rick, one of our sponsors, I went by yesterday, Summit Gasoline.
Hey!
Are you ready for this one? I went there to buy a bag of ice, but $4.99. If you're paying cash, listen to me. And it may have changed the minute I left.
Get out of here.
$4.99 if you're paying cash.
It was like $6.50 at my house.
$4.99.
That's awesome.
Yes. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, what's up, Willie?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Oh, it's almost worth a drive for $4.99.
For real?
Couldn't believe it, man.
Good stuff, and man, I'm glad I got both the Trey 500 and the 16 in my arsenal.
I know, that's like an impossible decision, man. What do you like better, your right hand or your left hand?
Yeah. Totally. Well, hey, water temps up here, I don't know if it's the same down there, took a little dip on the coast this week for us, 62 to 64, which is, I'd say, probably more normal for where we're at, but that didn't seem to slow things down for us one bit. Our half-day action remained really steady this week with some fun action across the board. Deeper hard bottom areas kicked out some real nice sand bass for the guys, opting for the sinker setups. Fighting egg sinkers up to maybe an ounce and a half were perfect for that, or a 2 to 3 ounce torpedo sinker. So those guys reverse dropper loop, had some real nice fish that way. We've been fishing live anchovies as our live bait this week, and you know how that kind of parlays into tons of action. So the bass have been all over that stuff. Some of the shallow zones, some of the stuff that kind of routinely gets driven by, you know, that we fished in on some of that stuff and saw some real nice calico bass and sheephead on some of those small inside rocks. Plenty of action on the fly line baits there and the lighter sliding sinkers, quarter ounce, 3/8, just kind of enough to get it down from the birds. Some surface iron action on the calico bass too, some better quality bass taken on the hard jerk bait. So, you know, Corey, that stuff's biting. It's been fun on some of that inside stuff.
Rockfish,
rockfish opportunity remains strong for us too. A day or two out deep on the 14 did require some adjusting while we were out there with some heavier sinkers and heavier jigs as that current was pushing strong. And it's good to know that current's pushing uphill pretty strong, like on that southeast part of that bank. You know, that's a good sign. You know, we want that water moving up the coast here. So good to see on that. You know, it wasn't like an eddy at the top end of the bank or something. So that was a good push coming up the coast. But those that adjusted rounded out their bags real nice. Boccaccio, Floridas, Chilis, all that kind of stuff out there. So that was fun to see. And then more on the shallow water zones along the coast here, bit real well. Double dropper looped anchovies was the ticket for the guys here on the coast. Nice grouper, reds, flags, just some of the main players. Some nice specs as well in the mix. Those guys getting a little further up off the bottom. And, you know, one nice sheephead out there for the guys this week, too. So 8 to 10 ounces of weight on the coast here was all you needed out there. Not real strong current. Was totally fishable and good there. And then the Fury over at Clemente on Saturday, same good deal with some good rockfish action for their guys. And along with that, they had some fun bonito fishing and good calico bass action along the kelp there. And then all the whitefish you could possibly want for the guys fishing the lighter dropper loop setups, with some sheephead and some things there in the mix as well. So good across the board for us pretty much everywhere this week, even in that funky weather, day or two of wind and a little bit of, you know, wet yesterday, but all good. So if you guys want to hop on a trip with us, give the landing a call. Our number here, 949-496-5794. Of course, you can hit us on the web as well at danawharf.com.
Awesome, Willie. Well, a fantastic report. Glad to hear that I wouldn't call it a blip in weather, but yeah, nothing on the negative on this end, man. We love hearing it, biting fish, and things are just going to continue to roll ahead. I know we got good weather here in front of us, so yeah, we'll keep it rolling, man. A solid report, and we'll look forward to great things to come.
Right on, guys. Thanks for the time. Have a great show. Awesome. Catch you next week.
Willie, appreciate that very much, as always. All right, later, guys. Thanks, Willie. Appreciate it, bro. With that said, we're going to switch to the surf. Our surf guru, Gundy Gunderson's on the line. What's up, Gundy?
Gundy.
Hey, what's happening?
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Very good. You know, we had a bit of uneven weather this week, and I think you were talking about that. Some temperature dips here and there hampered the bite, but anglers still posted some solid catches. The perch continued consistent. I think we're at the end of the spawn, some good catches of smaller halibut, more croaker, mostly juvenile white sea bass, but more white sea bass, and then big surge in leopard sharks, spotted some freshers off the pier. The water temp's still in the low to mid-60s, so we might have took a temperature, a degree or two bumped here and there downward, but I don't think it's going to affect anything in the long run. I think we should bounce back here, like you said, with the better weather. Excuse me. Hook, line, sinker reported good perch bites, smaller fish, 5 to 8 inch, spawn just about done. Graveyards, carpinteria, good stretches for a limit. Halibut anglers checked in some 30-inch class fish caught on the cleaner stretches of water. They had a little bit of off-color water here and there. Mesa, Black Rock, Goleta had some good water and some good catches. Ring, swim baits, flukes getting bites. The Goleta Pier is still holding those short to just legal sea bass. Lots of leopard sharks around. The Cabazon were on the bite this week. Just Fishing reported good perch bite along South Bay beaches, gulp sandworms, grubs, lugworms working there, scratch halibut fishing. Big Fish reported good halibut bite in and around L.A. Harbor, and this has been going on for about a month there. Very good halibut fishing. Good numbers of 18 to 32-inch fish. I think they had a 12-pounder off Dog Beach was one of their better fish checked in this week on a bone-colored fluke. Hogan's reported some mid-grade sea bass in the shallows off Cotton Point, and that's a springtime deal. Fish to 35 inches, taking swim baits, and then Pacific Coast reported a little bit of a sluggish bite, some rollover here and there. Better bite was in the lagoons and bays. A 42-inch halibut was reported taken in San Diego Bay, so that's a good sign. Maybe we're going to see some of those bigger hens start moving in. You know, the halibut bite's kind of been interesting this year. Not really concentrated, and I think it's more of a function of the kind of off weather we've had. But, we're due to see some of those real good quality hens, and I would look forward to seeing those in the next few weeks here.
Well, 42-incher.
Yeah.
And that's some good quality right there, Gundy, and some good numbers out of the surf, and always a great report you put together, man. It's top-notch, Gundy.
Right on, guys. Yeah, I appreciate all the stuff the guys from the shop give me. That's right on the water.
Support your local brick-and-mortar right there. There it is, Gundy.
Thanks, Gundy.
We'll talk to you next week, and we're going to be right back.
Have a good week. Great show, guys.
Thank you, Gundy. An entire another hour with Dave Ibrahim from the Tomahawk. When we return, not only on the Let's Talk Hook About YouTube, Facebook Live, but we're going to rejoin with 97.3 The Fan.
Do you know why 1 million customers visited Summit Gasoline last year at the San Diego Sports Arena? Because they give you the lowest price on fuel. Great service and easy access, even for trucks and trailers at their 24 pumps. Summit is known for the best price on ice, too. Almost half the cost of any other vendor. 25 pounds for just $3.99. Martha and her crew love fishermen, and they'll prove it by giving you 100 pounds free with a 35-gallon fill-up. Summit offers over 40 snacks and drinks to choose from. For only 89 cents, and even a line of hand creams and lip balms for 89 cents, too. Summit now proudly offers locally made burritos and sandwiches, made fresh daily and ready to go wherever the current takes you. Summit just upgraded their car wash, and for a limited time, get a deluxe car wash for only $6. Grab the wife's car, grab a cheap sandwich, and make up for the day on the water. Summit Gasoline, lowest prices, friendliest staff, easy access, and free ice. What more can you ask for?
Hi, this is Tommy the Fishmonger from Tunaville Market and Grocery and the TV show Fishmonger. I've known Yosef Husseini for over 20 years, and he's the expert when it comes to real estate. He's helped me with estate planning and multiple estate questions that the average guy like myself just doesn't understand. Yosef's not only a fellow angler, but he's an amazing realtor that specializes in helping us in the angling community find their ultimate home. If you own a home, get a free, no-obligation home evaluation now online from Yosef. Joseph by typing in SoCalHomeEval.com. All you do is put in your address and you'll get that report fast. Joseph is a SoCal real estate guy to go to. He's helped me and many of my customers and family members to find what they are looking for in a home. He understands the real estate market like no other, so take it from Tommy the Fishmonger. Joseph's the real deal when it comes to your real estate needs. Go to SoCalHomeEval.com and I'll see you at Tunaville Market and Grocery.
For local or long-range fishing, we have you covered. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Being a part of the San Diego Sport Fishing Landing gives us a distinct advantage when it comes to getting you on the latest and hottest tackle for your trip. Our expert staff knows exactly what you need for your long-range or local trip, and we will not sell you something you don't need. We carry a huge inventory of the right tackle. So visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew will make your fishing experience one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. All our open party trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.